This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
Hello. Before I begin, I want to apologise that the feed for this podcast seems to be all over the place. I plan to have an episode released about every 10 days, and it hasn't, at this time of recording at the beginning of October, yet released the one that was due to be published on the 26th of September, and or at least it says it has, but it isn't coming through on any of my podcast readers, and looking at the number of listens, it doesn't seem to have appeared anywhere else either. So I don't know what's wrong, and occasionally it just seems to splurge out all the episodes it's got lined up in one go. So my apologies, I am asking help and advice, but we'll see. Enough of that. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, and hopefully you will get to hear this. In order to look at Romans chapter 6, we have to remember where we got to at the end of Romans chapter 5, which was Paul talking about the law being the thing that brings sin into being. Because unless you say you mustn't do that, someone isn't going to break that commandment. But as soon as you say, don't touch the fire, then it is a sinful thing to touch the fire. It is a break of the rules to touch the fire. If you hadn't said it, the person would still get hurt, but they wouldn't be breaking the rules. And that's the point Paul has made, that actually it's the law that actually brings sin into focus, because we now know that we are being disobedient when we broke the law. But grace comes along, and grace brings forgiveness. And the argument in chapter 5 has been that, yes, there was all this sin, but the death of Christ has brought grace and forgiveness, not because God overlooked sin, but because God dealt with it through Jesus. What should we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may be more visible? If there's more sin, then there's more opportunity for grace, and therefore Jesus' death is more profound. No way, is Paul's point. The whole point is not that you have been forgiven, go on sinning so that you can be forgiven more. No, it should bring us round to a point of reverence and looking at God. Because we, in verse 2, share and identify with Christ. If we were baptized into Christ and identify with his death, and then through coming out of baptism, we are identifying with his life as well, just as Christ was raised from the dead, verse 4, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So the purpose of receiving his grace is that we come to receive a new life, and we live a new life. He goes further because he says we've been united with Christ. We are joined to Christ. And so the whole thing is, as people who are joined to Christ, we must not go in a separate way. We want to walk in union with Christ. And that is not to choose to sin, but to choose to live in righteousness. That's the argument he's making. So that we can be united with him in his resurrection. He was raised from the dead. We are going to be raised from death to life, eternal life. Because our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone has died has been freed from sin. As soon as you die, you're no longer going to sin. And he's saying, well, actually, when we come to Christ, we die to sin. Our old life is dealt with. That's the picture that he's saying. So in verse 8, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So here is the future hope. I've given my life to Jesus. I will live with him because I have died to sin. And he goes on that because Christ was raised, he can't die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And we are identifying with this. So as we come to him, we die to sin once for all. And I can hear questions beginning to rumble up about this. But let's press on for a moment and then we'll see if we can answer some of them. So verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. That's our position. We are to see ourselves as no longer under the influence, under the mastery of sin, but now we live to God. So don't let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. So what's he saying here? He's saying, well, it's not that we stop sinning automatically when we become Christians. We don't. We have sin is still seeking to master us. And in fact, the enemy is targeting us more to make us feel miserable and depressed because we keep falling back into sin. No, he's saying you've got a choice to make. The choice with the law was I obey it or I disobey it. The choice under grace is I remind myself that I am forgiven and I live as a forgiven and redeemed person, or I allow myself to slip back. We have a choice. We can offer our body to wickedness, which simply means we can say, I am going to continue to sin. Whether that is sexually, whether that, which is how he started Romans, wasn't it? Or whether it's about our moral dealings with other people, our justice or whatever. I can use my hands to make a gun and shoot people, or I can use my hands to make something that blesses people. These are the choices we have. What do I do with my body now that I have been forgiven? I use it to bring one worship and honour to Jesus. I use it to bring glory to God. That's the teaching. And in verse 15, he goes on, shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? By no means. Yes, I'm forgiven, and I am forgiven even before I commit another sin. I am forgiven. I'm a forgiven person. What I do has been forgiven and is eternally forgiven, because that's what grace says. There is this false teaching that if you die with unconfessed sin, you might not get to heaven, you might go to purgatory. This is Catholicism and it's false teaching, which is why a Catholic will want the priest to come round to give last rites to make sure everything's forgiven before they die. It's bunkum, because if you have become Christ's, if you have risen, if you've been buried with Christ in baptism and risen from that place, if you are truly given to Jesus, and again, this is not just you were baptized as a baby, therefore you are, or even you were baptized as an adult, therefore you are. It's not the physical thing alone, it's the faith that says, I am giving myself to him. I have submitted myself to his lordship, and here is the physical symbol of it. Then you're forgiven. You're one of his family, and it's forgiven. And this is really what Paul is getting at here. He's saying, because you're forgiven, does that mean you just go on sinning because you want the forgiveness to be bigger? You know, you want more forgiveness, so you just sin more because you know you're forgiven. No. You are forgiven, and everything you do is already dealt with and forgiven. That doesn't mean go and do more sin. It means be more gracious yourself. Be more like Jesus. Unite yourself with Jesus and walk with Jesus. And it's a daily choice. Today, Lord, I offer you the parts of my body for your glory. And you know, if there are things which just will not go away, if there are things which continually drag you down, then firstly, praise the Lord that you are forgiven. But secondly, recognize that this might be a part of your life you've never fully handed over to him, and that there is still a demonic stronghold in that part of your life, that you are still more prepared to go the enemy's way than you are to go the Lord's way in that area. And either recognize that and be honest about it. Don't try to suppress it. Don't put it down and say, this is not me. Be honest about it. James says, confess your sins to one another. Maybe get a good Christian friend to just be accountable with, and ask them to pray for you to be delivered in this area. It's not forgiveness you need, because you are forgiven. It is deliverance from a sin that seems to be unconquerable. Make the choice. I'm offering this area of my life to the Lord, that you might be delivered in that area. It might be you can do it on your own. Don't try and suppress it. Don't say, that happened, I'm not going to think about it. Be honest with God. This keeps happening, Lord. I want this to be dealt with. I'm bringing it before you. Help me. Show me how the deliverance comes in this area in my life. But always approach him, thanking him that he has forgiven you. The enemy wants you to be guilty. He wants you to feel guilty, because that destroys the life and the joy and the peace. Don't let the enemy get a foothold. It's not about guilt. I am forgiven. It's about, Lord, here is an area I want to bring under your lordship, but I keep getting stuck. Show me how to get deliverance. Lead me to deliverance. Lead me to dealing with that on my own, or maybe needing to get help. So, we're either slaves to sin, which leads to disobedience and death, or we're slaves to obedience to God, which leads to righteousness and life. 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obey the forms of teaching to which you are entrusted. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And that is the position of the Christian. Sin is no longer your master. You are a slave to righteousness to become more like Jesus. And just repeat. So if there is a part of sin which seems to still be a master, firstly, that's a lie. You can deal with it. You might need help to deal with it, but you can deal with it, because it's no longer your master. It's an interloper. You're a slave to righteousness. Sin needs to learn its place. It's no longer your master. Get out. So we are in this place where we have righteousness as our master, and sin is no longer our master. And that is a truth. If you are the Lord's, that is the truth. If sin keeps telling you it's your master and keeps trying to grab you and make you do things, and you feel that you cannot overcome it and you keep submitting to it, it's because you haven't realized it's no longer your master, and you can kick it out. And just say things like, name the sin. Don't suppress it. Name it. So whatever it is, chocolate addiction, because I don't want to name particular sins, but I command you, chocolate, to get out of my life. I command you to go. And if you do that and you say, Lord, I choose you, things will start to change. It might be, as I say, you need someone's help, but that's the sort of process. It is not your master. Righteousness is your master. And that, I think, is the important thing to remember. So now offer your body parts in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. That is what he says in verse 19. And when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. You didn't have to do good because you were a sinner. Now you're free from the control of sin and you can be righteous. Sin brought you no benefits. It's a horrible master. It just leads to death. But now you're set free from sin. You've become slaves to God. You've become slaves to righteousness. And that leads to eternal life. That leads to life with God. And we come to one of the most famous verses in the Bible to finish chapter 6, verse 23, NIV. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Two things about this. The wages of sin, what you earn through committing sin, is death. It's all you earn. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't earn it. It doesn't matter how righteous you are, you're not going to earn anything from it because you've already received the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we seek to be righteous, to be lined up with God, to be like that eternity, and we seek to do his will. Sin is not your master. God is your master, and he's a good God, and he has already forgiven you and already given you the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is how we end chapter 6 and move on as we continue to get towards the peak of this book in chapter 8 and perhaps even the peak of the whole New Testament. He keeps on laying these principles down. That's it though for chapter 6.
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.